We are going to have now a few representing the family who are going to eulogize. That's Ralph Angel, Mike Pia, and Albert Rossellini. And we'll come one after the other. So please, Ralph.
Oh, I'm so sad. Having lost my father a year and a half ago, and now having lost my mother, there is a part of me that will be lonely for the rest of my life. But today I feel gratitude. How fortunate are my sisters and myself to have our parents well into our 60s, alive, well, cognitively strong and present. We are fortunate and lucky. And I'm so grateful for my life with my mother and my father. My sadness is small. Today is a day of celebration. How else might we speak about my mother? She is known for her smile. I don't think there's a photograph over the last 60, 70 years that includes my mother without a smile. My mother was a student for 95 years. She never stopped learning. She never declared that this is what I know and understand. Hers was a mind of curiosity. She never made transactions in the world. That involved anything but an encounter with another human being. Every interaction was the possibility of coming to know another human being. Whether it was a clerk at Nordy's or Macy's, or a gardener, or a plumber, or all the people who provide services, they became her friend. She required it. My sisters and I, of course, were surrounded by many of our friends as we grew up. I was speaking to one of my oldest friends here in Seattle yesterday, who reminded me that he, along with all my friends and all my sister's friends, felt part of our family because of my mother. It's personal. Whoever we loved, she loved. This is a unique quality in humankind. This is a kind of generosity of spirit, a kind of empathy that transcends difference. This is a spirit that is so inclusive, it is bigger than any one of us. In that way, my mother was powerful. A curious thing happened along the way. My sisters and I did not come from a book reading family. There was a siddur, there were prayer books, and there were magazines. Magazines of the time, yeah? There was Life, and there was Sports Illustrated, there was Newsweek, and prayer books. I became a voracious reader at an early age. I don't know why. But my mother, in her 70s, became a reader, a voracious reader. We talked 2 or 3 times a week for 40 years. And when she was in her 70s, we would talk, among other things, books. She joined a writer's workshop. We would send one another books, articles. She even read my work, God forbid. But she also, at that time, began writing herself. Writing her story, writing the story of her life, of my family, of our communal life. She wrote 100 vignettes. 100. And my sisters and I will bring them into a volume in her memory. She was not schooled in this art, but the power was in her authenticity. She wrote as if, as well, in the way that she spoke. When you were in her presence, she made you feel present. She never stopped learning, and it's her curiosity and her love of life and people that made a contact with everyone she touched. Everyone wanted to be around her. I am so blessed. And I'm so sad. But today is a day of celebration. Thank you for being here to celebrate my mother. May God bless and keep her, and my father. And may God bless and keep you all.
Hi, my name is Mike Piha, and some of you might have known my father, Isaac Peg Piha, and my mother, Shirley Piha. And my middle name is Leon, named after the great Lee Angel, I'm very proud of. my wife Cheryl and I live in San Francisco. Vicki contacted me a couple of days ago, and she said, I know it's the holidays, I know everybody's busy, it's hard to get flights, but we wouldn't miss this for anything. Because Margie was really like a second mother to myself, my brothers and sisters. And growing up, Margie, Lee, my dad, and my mom were inseparable. They were best friends. We got to watch this. We always thought Margie was like a movie star, Doris Day, whatever. But like Ralph said, the smile and just the kindness is just something that I've never, ever seen in a woman before. And she always made you feel good. She made us, she was the mother that would never say no for us. So I remember they had in their house in Bogle, they had this rock wall. As a kid, I always wanted to climb it. And Lee always told me, stay away from that wall. So I just go to Margie. I said, Margie, can I climb the wall? And she'd have that smile and go, climb the wall, but make sure Lee's not around. So I climbed it. I got stuck up there one time. And Lee came down and said, I told you not to climb that wall. And Margie's like, he's fine, Lee. He's having fun. But that's how Margie was. We took a lot of trips together, Lake Tahoe to Birch Bay. And, you know, just my memory of those trips is always Margie doing something fun. And she could turn any negative into a positive. She always makes a day great. Just her smile, seeing her, is something that I will cherish forever. And my sister's not here, so I can tell this story, but she was a little chubby when she was like 13. And she felt really like she wanted to lose weight. She's trying to figure out what to do. And I think it was Margie was a little heavy at that time, too. And so Margie, I remember she put her arm around. She goes, Sammy, she goes, fat people are happy people. And I'll never, ever forget that, because when you think about it, Margie didn't, she was just happy. It didn't matter. When my father passed away, Margie and Lee, my mom moved down to Southern California, and Margie and Lee would, I think they called my mom every day, and just to you know, be there for her. And I know she used to talk to Lee till 12 at night. But when my mother passed away, Margie started calling Cheryl and I. And I'm not kidding. I mean, GL4783, I'll never forget the phone number on my phone, because she called all the time. And here's how our calls went. She just called and she says, Mike, it's Margie. How are you? How are the boys? How's Cheryl? How's that? Everything was just, how is everything going? You know, I try to ask her, you know, how's Vicki and the boys and Al and Ralph and how's the family? But she'd give me a little answer, but it'd go back to, you know, what are you guys doing? And, you know, what are the boys up to? So we'd have this call, and then she'd go into a couple stories about our parents and how much fun they had, and, you know, how much she loved them. And, you know, it was always just this warm, cozy call. And it would go on for like 30 minutes. And Cheryl's like, is that Margie? She always knew if it went that long, it was Margie. And then she'd talk to Cheryl. And, you know, Cheryl wasn't there when we were kids, but her and Cheryl had this bond. And they'd talk for another 30 or 40 minutes. And so it would be an hour call. And we'd get these calls for 10 years, at least 4 to 10 times a year. And, you know, we're in California. She's the only, and they're not relative. I always thought Margie was an aunt or a relative. And when I got older, I found out that they were just friends. They weren't even relatives of ours. But she would call. And it was just the greatest call ever. And, you know, we really, really cherished that call from Margie. And, you know, I get calls on my phone. I'm sure everybody does, and we get it. Sometimes you're like, oh, I'm busy, I don't want to do it. When Margie called, we always answered. We always did, because we just wanted to talk to her. We wanted to hear her voice. We wanted to hear what she had to say. And so I think it was about maybe June or May she called. And, well, it was right after Lee had passed away, and she called. And literally it was a two-hour story of just memory lane with my parents and just things. And she was crying. We were crying. It was just an incredible call. And then I think last June we talked to her, was the last time. Well, actually, I talked to her in August. And but in June, she called again. You know, we felt we should start calling her because we just knew she was going to call us. We never bothered to. But so we started calling her also. And, you know, I want to kind of leave something for especially the grandkids and everybody is, I call it a Margie. You know, Margie is when you call somebody that, you know, you want to keep warm, keep them just great memories and make them feel good. Because this was never a call about telling us what to do, where to go, what to, you know. It wasn't a parent's call. It was a call just about love and friendship and happiness. You don't get many of those. So those are Margie calls. And, you know, it's not a text. It's not an email. It's not Facebook. It's a call. It's a real voice. And it's something that's really special. So I just challenge everybody to make those calls and call them Margie calls because nobody in this world does them. And nobody did them better than Margie. So we're going to miss those calls. But the memories are there, and we're going to do the same thing to someone special in our life. Is make them Margie call. Thank you.
I had the amazing good fortune to have Marge Angel as my mother-in-law. You don't choose a mother-in-law. It's the luck of the draw, and I hit the jackpot with Margie. With joy and enthusiasm, she welcomed me into her family and her life from day one. And when Vicky and I started having children, she and Leon became a centerpiece of family life. Sunday night dinners at Grandma's house became routine, and often the kids began to make suggestions early in the week about what she should prepare. She was a great cook, and she always accommodated them, and I always felt that her joy in seeing us come over every Sunday was one of the things she lived for. Most of all, though, she was a model of how to love. And her love runs through all of us today. Even in her physical absence, it is more powerful than ever, and again, a centerpiece of our life. I think that these kind of thoughts and reflections are common when remembering loved ones. And in the last couple days, since Margie passed away, I've been thinking at great length about what made her so unique. I mean, all of us are special. And because you spend so much time with your loved ones, you become aware of what is special about them. But Margie was truly an outlier. Her most unique trait that I will remember the most and try to emulate was her ability to connect with people of all ages, races, cultures, and backgrounds. Her smile captured the joy of human experience and was a language that every human being could understand. It was authentic, it was innocent, and it was infectious, and it brought joy to the people she was with. When I say she lived a life to the fullest, I don't mean she safaried to Africa or jumped out of airplanes, but rather she experienced the full range of human emotions, especially love, bravely and with abandon. One way she expressed this inner nature was writing kind of autobiographic essays. She joined a writing group, which became a major part of her life. The family has a trove of these essays at home, as we've heard, some still waiting to be typed up, as she always wrote them longhand. The stories she wrote were not about big events or adventures. They were about small, interesting occurrences that many of us might not remember the next day. But in her telling of them, they became memorable. And they became memorable, and they resonated with the reader or the listener because they highlighted the experience of being alive. or more specifically of being human, in a way that anybody could understand. The pride that her father, Frenchie, took in her, and he in him, as they both carved out a living in America in the 30s and 40s, selling flowers on a street corner in Seattle. The embarrassment that Leon felt as he entered the military in World War II and was issued a uniform that was way too big for him. The anger she felt when her ethnic friends were discriminated against. Marge did not take up this hobby to polish her writing skills. She took it up to unearth memories and stories that were, to her, and should be to us, critically important because they resonate and bind us together as we realize our shared humanity. As we said our goodbyes to Marge, just after she passed away, I had the strange feeling that she was no longer in that body, but had been released and was everywhere. And though it's hard to imagine, I think the special person that she was will have even more influence on the people she touched going forward and forever.